This is Shifting Patterns, presented by the State of Minnesota's Department of Administration and the Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities. Preparation of this publication was financed in part by grant number 90DD0181 from the Department of Health and Human Services, Administration on Developmental Disabilities, under the provisions of Public Law 101-496. Content of this publication does not necessarily reflect the position or policy of the Administration on Developmental Disabilities. This document is also available in Braille, disc, and videotape formats. Contact the Council Office for a free single copy. The address, Minnesota Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities, Department of Administration, 300 Centennial Office Building, 658 Cedar Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55155. Voice, area code 651-296-4018. TDD, area code 651-296-9962. Table of Contents page. Pages 1 through 3, Patterns of Many Shapes and Colors. Pages 5 through 8, Partners in Policymaking. Pages 9 through 11, Parents as Case Managers. Pages 13 through 15, Personal Futures Planning. Pages 17 through 19, Vouchers. Pages 21 through 23, Youth Leadership. Pages 25 through 27, People First. Pages 27 and 28, National Survey of Shifting Patterns. And pages 29 through 31, Career Vision. Looking at New Patterns. In 1990, the Administration on Developmental Disabilities, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, issued a request for proposals related to educating policymakers. The Minnesota Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities responded to the request and successfully competed for the grant. The goal of the Minnesota Council's proposal is to promote and strengthen advocacy and empowerment skills of individuals with developmental disabilities and their families, and thereby enable them to influence critical policy decisions. The activities of the project have included the following: a survey of best practices in empowerment and self-advocacy. Contact was made in each state with the Developmental Disabilities Council, the university-affiliated programs, and a major consumer or parent organization. A national panel of experts was convened to review the results of the survey and select appropriate models for publication. The preparation of two videotapes and this publication to present and discuss approaches to empowerment and self-advocacy. Page 1. Patterns of Many Shapes and Colors. One way to recognize that there is something new in the air, a major shift in the works, is to see the emergence of a new crop of buzzwords. The words empowerment, self-determination, self-transformation, and autonomy are not new. What is new is the frequency with which they're used in today's discussions about people with developmental disabilities. What is really new is the shifting patterns that such concepts represent. Recent actions about empowerment, self-advocacy, and self-determination have helped to refocus our vision of what is possible. For the purpose of this study, empowerment is defined as processes whereby individuals achieve increasing control of various aspects of their lives and participate in the community with dignity. Self-determination is a $10 word for choice, according to Williams in 1989. It is another word for freedom. A life filled with rising expectations, dignity, responsibility, and opportunity. A chance to live the American dream. Page 2. There are a number of key concepts which are central to all of these attempts at definition. Private competency without public opportunity will not yield self-determination. Self-determination also depends upon the capacity of the external environment of society to permit and foster a wide range of choices. YMCA 1991. At the personal level, people can develop the capacities and competencies of empowerment and self-determination only in themselves. People empower themselves. Others can assist individuals to gain the skills, knowledge, capacities, and allies they will need to take control of their lives, create and take advantage of opportunities, and overcome barriers. Empowerment and self-determination have much to do with vision having and being able to dream about what we want our lives to be like, choice, and the right to make decisions for ourselves, power, control over resources which are necessary to act on our choices and decisions, relationships, being our own person in relationship with others. Page 3. The Shifting Pattern. Beliefs and Attitudes for Individuals. From Feeling Hopeless to Feeling Hopeful. From Self-Doubt to Belief in Self. From Self-Blame to Promoting the Possible. From They Owe Me, Blaming Others, to I Am Responsible for the Future, Take Control of My Own Life. From Seeing Deficits to Seeing Strengths. Beliefs and Attitudes for Services and Professionals. From professionals know better than parents or other lay people, to people have different kinds of knowledge. From reliance on experts, to reliance on the commonwealth and communities. From we choose for them, to consumers choose for themselves. From power over, to power with and among. Beliefs and Attitudes for the Community. From exclusion, we versus they, to inclusion, all of us. From differences as inadequacy to differences as assets. From one cultural perspective to a multicultural perspective. The proceeding was adapted from the Cornell Empowerment Project. Page 4 of this document is blank. Next is Partners in Policymaking. Partners inspired us to dream again, and it wasn't easy. I was so far removed from my dreams, they first had to teach me how to dream. Page 5. You go through Partners and you come out thinking you have to change the world. What is this all about? The key concept is that Partners in Policymaking teaches individuals with disabilities and family members to be community leaders. The program is designed to provide information, training, resources, and skill building in two areas. A, what is state of the art, and B, how to influence public policy. Individuals then use these tools to obtain better services, political advocacy, policy development and change, and community leadership. Partners in Policymaking is dedicated to assisting individuals and families to change the system. The intensive course provides 128 hours of instruction over 8 weekends. Each of the sessions is devoted to a specific topic or level of government. Participants are given and complete assignments, such as serving as an intern with a public official. Sue Swenson's activism after Partners in Policymaking has brought her son Charlie to an inclusive classroom in his neighborhood school. Says Sue, it restored a sense of independence to our family through increasing options for Charlie. I'm not changing the world alone, she says, but I'm doing my part. To me, that really means something. I think to Charlie, that really means something. Page 6. The overall goal is to reach a productive partnership between people who need and use services for developmental disabilities and the people who make public policy. Partners in Policymaking is all about providing information and skills training so people with disabilities and their families can pursue their own agendas. The shifting pattern is from the system sets the agenda for individuals and families to individuals and families setting and pursuing their own agendas. From a focus on information to individuals and families so they'll know what the experts think is best and act appropriately, to focusing on skills, competencies, and knowledge so that individuals and families can set and pursue what they think is best. From a focus on changing individuals and families to a focus on individuals and families changing the system and public policy. From a focus on individuals and families as informed followers to individuals and families as leaders. And from a focus on self-improvement to a focus on self-determination, self-creation, advocacy, and system improvement. Linda Rother says, I've been on national committees, state committees, county committees. I've now decided that I want to run for the state legislature. Does it make a difference? Partners in policymaking programs have been offered in several states, and another 24 states are joining the effort in 1992 and 93. The feedback from the individuals and families who've participated now fills volumes. Page 7. Rodney, second grade. Rodney was placed in a self-contained unit for children with severe mental retardation, nonverbal, or behavior disorders. Educational activities were the typical nut and bolt, screwing, lacing cardboard shapes and pegboards. His behaviors included screaming, his most effective and the one that brought him fame, biting, kicking, and hitting. He endured being locked in a medieval contraption where he couldn't raise his arms or see out. He endured many a takedown procedure and adults screaming in his face. Along with aversives, psychotropic drugs were used to control Rodney. Rodney, third grade. Rodney entered the double doors of his neighborhood school. Rodney was emancipated from the den of aversives, program plans, and meaningless tasks. He was introduced to the freedom and innocence of just being a child. He no longer was a diagnosis, leading a programmable life. Rodney participates in sports, has been in two class plays, has been invited to parties and over to friends' houses, has had to give a campaign speech with augmentative communication, has had peers support and encourage him, and has been introduced to the alphabet and numbers. Rodney talks in sentences now and no longer takes Thorazine. He was given his life back, thanks to Partners in Policymaking, wrote his mother, a Partners graduate from Texas. Page 8. Roberta Juarez says, Partners is where I learn the things that I apply every day to my students and to the campus and the community in general. Some comments from parents of children with disabilities. We often feared how our baby daughter would suffer from having a brother who, because of his disability, would restrict her life and embarrass her in front of her friends. Those are nightmares that will never come true. I have spoken to other parents, professionals, chambers of commerce, school boards, organizations, and public officials. I plan to continue my work in advocating for my son and others with disabilities. With Partners in Policymaking, I've learned about true quality of life and that just a mom can do anything and get results. The experience I have gained has allowed me to speak with confidence and knowledge. These comments are from individuals with disabilities. It sounds simple, but probably the most important thing one can do for oneself is to be able to say, I want or I need. If you can relate that information in a convincing and assertive manner, then you've pretty well got it made. I think that Partners is where I learn the things that I apply every day to my students and to the campus and community in general. Without it, I would definitely not be doing what I'm doing today and having so much fun doing it. Parents as case managers. Now I can go to a conference alone, and I feel confident with my advocacy skills. Page 9. We identify what services the person requires and how we should work together to support the person. What is this all about? The key concept is that individuals and parents receive training information and supports to more fully participate in case management for themselves or their sons and daughters with developmental disabilities. Case management is improved by informed decision-making by the individual and family, thus enabling them to hold service providers accountable for the outcomes identified in the individual's plan. In many states, case management is a service mandated by legislation. The key components of case management are accountability, accessibility, and coordination. Individual plans are an integral feature of case management. They identify what services the person requires and how they should work together to support the person. Diane Roth says it gave control back to our family. Diane is working with colleagues to bring parents as case managers training to her rural area. Her husband Paul Roth says, just to be able to spend some time together with my wife. Because of Diane's being involved in parents as case managers, we were able to get some of the services we needed. Page 10. The fundamental notion of parents as case managers is that individuals and parents, in fact, can be the case manager. People with disabilities and families can handle the choices and decisions involved, as well as the responsibilities of professional case managers. Federal law describes the case management responsibility as a continuing, perhaps lifelong, relationship. Clearly, the individual and family are in the best position to maintain that relationship. Because case management is often a mandated service, if individuals and families are to be their own case managers, then their status must be recognized by the state and agencies with whom they come into contact. Parents as Case Managers projects may involve the following features: officially recognizing individuals and families as case managers, providing training and information to develop the competencies of individuals and families in the following areas: case management, rights and responsibilities as they relate to persons with disabilities, data privacy, state-of-the-art service delivery and philosophy, quality indicators, transition, and inclusion. Producing and distributing resource guides and information packets to keep individuals and families informed of new developments and ideas. Providing ongoing advice and support to participants, including a stipend to support their participation as case managers. The shifting pattern in this case is from professionals planning for people to individuals and families planning for themselves. From reliance on overworked, undertrained staff with a high rate of turnover to reliance on the lifelong commitment of individuals and families to their own lives. From a view that only professionals can be responsible to respect for the fact that individuals and families have a vested interest in acting responsibly on their own behalf. And from case management as a means to let people into existing services to case management as a means for individuals and families to organize services in response to their own needs and dreams. Page 11. An evaluation of a Parents as Case Managers project indicates that the project's program made an impact on people in three different areas. The project provided available information for the participants and improved their roles and family interactions. It provided emotional and instrumental support to the participants, and it helped the participants be more knowledgeable, self-assured, and decisive. It helped the participants link with social resources and build their social networks. Informal, that is, connecting with the other parents, and formal, that is, connecting with the other professionals, networks. Parents as case managers were able to obtain additional services for the sons and daughters, were more satisfied with the services they received, and believed that they have improved accountability by improving the quality of their children's lives. Testimony of the participants involved indicates important consequences in a number of areas. "I needed to come to the training today to get another jolt of parent power," says Bill Meyer. "In the past, I felt alone coming from a rural area. Now I don't, because of the group of parent case managers. A year ago, I needed to have a legal advocate sitting next to me at a conference to do all the talking. Now I can go to a conference alone, and I feel confident with my advocacy skills. We have received more services, and the system seems to move faster now. I am an organized, informed team member at my child's team meetings with a broad vision of the possibilities and how to accomplish them for my child." Page 12 of this document is blank. Personal Futures Planning. In the few months that Charlie has been involved with his Personal Futures Planning team, he's had an opportunity to have a lot of accomplishments, and his self-esteem has grown as a result. Page 13. What is this all about? The key concept is that personal futures planning is a process to create a vision of a more desirable future for individuals with developmental disabilities. It focuses on the unique gifts and capacities of the individual instead of deficits. It is a map for the individual's journey toward a better personal future. A personal future plan is developed by a group of people who care about the individual. Once the plan is developed, the group continues to meet for as long as is necessary to support the person in moving toward the better personal future. Dan Crennel says, "It's helped me get where I am today." Personal futures planning is a tool for fostering new ways of thinking about people with developmental disabilities. It's an opportunity for people with disabilities to develop personal relationships, have positive roles in community life, increase their control of their own lives, and develop the skills and abilities to achieve these goals. An ongoing problem-solving process, the plan changes as new opportunities and obstacles arise. An ongoing commitment by a circle of friends or a person-centered team of people on the life and future of an individual. Page 14. Personal futures planning, at its heart, is a way that individuals with disabilities, their friends, and family can take charge of defining what the future should be like for the individual. The focus is on what must happen so that the individual can fully participate in and be valued by the community. The process identifies and builds on the strengths of the person. Personal futures planning looks for doors and opportunities. It creates visions and captures dreams. It continually strives to be both visionary and extremely practical. The planning process develops a true picture of the person and describes the best possible future of the person in community. It then identifies problems blocking that future and opportunities for progress. The shifting pattern in this case is from a professional team to which families and individuals may be invited to a team of family and friends to which staff who are close to the individual may be invited. From a circle of professionals who may see the individual at the center of the circle to a circle of friends who join efforts with the individual. From a focus on services into which the individual can fit to a focus on how the world needs to work so the individual is a member of and contributor to the community. From a preoccupation with test scores, problems, weaknesses, and paper compliance to a preoccupation with strengths, gifts, capacities, what the person has to offer and build on. From a focus on what is to a focus on dreams and a vision of what must be. From a focus on a view of life as defined by services to a view of life as defined by relationships, community, choice, competence, a home, a career, and a future. It creates visions and captures dreams. Page 15. Making a difference. Personal futures planning can make a difference in three different ways: in the effect of being vision-focused and person-centered, through the changes in the person's life which result from actions taken, and by changes in services and the system in response to the plan. Personal futures planning brings people together. It calls on people to act as friends rather than staff. It gets people organized for action. Bill's parents had been trying for years to get him out of an institution. He was very aggressive. He was straitjacketed and treated with electric shock. Their efforts to find an agency in the community that would help were always met with a no. Bill was too much of a challenge. A group of 10 friends, family, neighbors, and some professionals who had known Bill at various times got together to plan for Bill's future. For Bill and his parents, this was the first time people had gotten together to say yes. They found new energy and new hope. After a year of planning and following up on the plans, Bill lives with another person in a townhouse in his community. He has been aggression-free for a year. He regularly volunteers at a local food bank. He often rides his bike several miles to visit with his parents. Page 16 of this document is blank. The voucher system. It allows the parents to be more in control. It allows you to maintain your self-respect. Page 17. What is this all about? The key concept here is that families and individuals with disabilities are given the responsibility, authority, money, and ability to buy what they want, need, and prefer. The voucher system is a remarkably simple idea. Families are given direct access to funds which had been controlled by government. Families are offered the opportunity to participate in the voucher program. Each family is allotted a certain amount of money for the year. This might be based on previous amounts received, the family's estimate of what it will need for the year, or a combination of both. The family decides what is needed, orders what is needed, pays for it, and is reimbursed from its pool of funds. There are four underlying principles to this approach. It is important to have a child grow up as part of the family. Families know better than anyone what they need to stay together. Families can be trusted to make the right decisions, and families will stretch their dollars. Thanks to vouchers, Robbie Johnson has had the same respite caregiver, Jack Thompson, for 3 years now. Families know better than anyone what they need to stay together. Page 18. The Shifting Pattern. In this case, it's from no choice to choice, from being forced to take what you can get, not what you want, to families and individuals defining what they want. From authority, money, and decision in hands of government or providers, to families and individuals having the responsibility, authority, and money to buy what they want, need, and prefer. From priorities defined by government and agencies, to priorities defined by families and individuals. From services and supports provided by staff and professionals of agencies, to services and supports provided by formal and informal sources. Making a difference. The voucher system has made a difference from three perspectives. It has increased use of informal and alternative sources of support. It has made positive changes in the lives of individuals with developmental disabilities and their families. And it has begun to change the nature of the system. The single biggest category of expenditures in voucher systems has been respite care. Time and again, the arrangements were with informal and alternative sources. One family with seven young children was able to hire a family friend to babysit for the entire group when the parents went out to dinner. Vouchers enabled Walia Flowers to supplement her daughter's diet and to purchase exercise equipment for therapy at home. Page 19. The parents of one young girl rarely went out together because of the difficulty at mealtimes. They were disappointed in county providers because of the turnover in personnel. They had to constantly train new staff to care for their child. With voucher funds, the people hired a neighbor who has known the child for many years. The participants in one county's voucher project reported success in changing their control over the rest of their lives. One mother said that respite for her adult daughter was the biggest need. "We've gotten much more respite than ever. It allows us to keep up with our daughter," she says. She also says that the flexibility of the funds allowed her to find a provider who can come in the evenings and weekends. "It's kept our marital relationship going," she says. Anna Sparza purchased software for her daughter Rachel using voucher funds, then shared the software with Rachel's school. Rachel Esparza can play in her backyard now, thanks to a sidewalk paid for with her voucher funds. Some parents use a portion of their children's voucher allocation to let them participate in community activities, such as sports. Page 20 of this document is blank. Youth leadership. See youth with disabilities as leaders instead of dependents, fostering friendships, developing skills, and promoting inclusion. Page 21. What is this all about? The key concept is that all youth, including youth with disabilities, have the capacity to be leaders. Youth with disabilities can play a vital role in changing systems and policy so as to promote the inclusion of youth with disabilities in the social, economic, political, and spiritual life of the community, and their contribution to those areas of life. The cooperative efforts of and friendships among youth with and without disabilities can change the nature of community life for generations to come. The focus of youth leadership and self-determination is wide and varied. It's to foster integrated and respectful friendships among individuals, to develop skills among youth for leadership and self-determination, to promote access to and inclusion of youth with disabilities in existing youth programs and education, to develop the capacity of services to respond to youth with diverse needs, to provide an opportunity for youth to participate in policy issues. These elements involve three critical ingredients: the development of skills, competencies, and knowledge among youth with disabilities, tools for self-determination, leadership, and change, the development of friendships, relationships, and alliances between youth with and without disabilities, partnerships for life and change in the lives of youth with disabilities, and creating opportunities to act on decisions and choices. We are now on page 22. There are a wide range of activities and approaches that can make up youth leadership and self-determination programs. School partnerships work with youth, teacher, parents, and school staff to identify issues and opportunities at the school in terms of integration and youth leadership, to use a variety of contexts, the classroom, extracurricular activities and clubs, or existing friendship networks among young people, and methods, peer friendship, circle of friends, youth service clubs, to develop integrated youth groups and friendships among youth. Train staff in both schools and community organizations in a variety of skill areas, such as self-advocacy, personal futures planning, facilitating relationship building, and developing career vision. Outdoor leadership programs involve youth with and without disabilities in activities that build self-determination skills and foster appreciation for the diversity of individual talents. Such programs combine adventure-based experiences, team building, and workshops on assertiveness skills, cultural awareness, and leadership. There are many occasions and places through which young people can enter into relationship with a youth with disabilities, such as the neighborhood, youth clubs, part-time jobs, church and church youth groups, community sports teams, and recreation events. Page 23. The shifting pattern here is from peers as helpers and mentors to peers as friends, from youth as irresponsible to youth as responsible, from youth with disabilities as dependent to youth with disabilities as leaders, from youth with disabilities as other, to be seen as separate, to youth with disabilities as one of the group, from skills for daily living to skills for leadership and self-determination, and from youth as today's problems to be solved, to youth as problem solvers and the leaders of the future. Making a difference. In one program, a summer youth leadership camp included youth with disabilities for the first time. The young people came away realizing that a young person with a disability should be treated the same way that they want to be treated. The young people with disabilities did some things they probably thought they would never, ever do. Like Eric, climbing the tower, taking the first step, and saying he would not take another step, then taking that step, and taking a third step. Page 24 of this document is blank. People first. People first takes a few very basic principles quite seriously. People with disabilities are people first. Page 25. What is this all about? The key concept here is that People First is an international movement of people with developmental disabilities advocating on their own behalf. People with disabilities are seen as capable of representing their own best interests and exercising their own choices. Self-advocacy training assists people with developmental disabilities to make and express choices for themselves, to know and assert their rights, to organize and form alliances, and to have an impact on public policy. People First takes a few very basic principles quite seriously. People with disabilities are people first. They should be seen for their abilities. They have the same needs as everyone else: a home, a job, an education, love and friendship, dignity, a good time, a decent standard of living. People with disabilities are in the best position to make choices for themselves, to speak on their own behalf, and represent their interests. As with other people, people with disabilities often require the help of friends and allies in acting on their choices and defending their rights. People First groups often have advisors to help them get organized, to interpret information that is complicated, and to follow up on issues. Advisors participate to provide advice, not direction. Page 26. Self-advocacy training is often a common feature of People First groups. People First members and invited trainers give workshops, assist people to learn while they're engaged in advocacy activities, review what is happening so lessons can be learned, and so forth. In some cases, People First members travel across the country or closer to home to provide training and consultation to local groups. The shifting pattern here is from having one's best interest represented by others, usually families, to making choices and representing one's own interests. From being seen and treated as a client to representing oneself as a citizen and person with rights. From life skills training to assertiveness and advocacy training. From being dependent and afraid to being courageous and defending one another. From not being seen or heard to having a seat at the board table, being granted standing in the court, testifying before a legislative hearing. Making a difference. People First groups engage in a variety of activities. For many members, a first act of courage is accepting the invitation to attend a People First meeting. Speaking up for the first time is another act of courage for many People First members. For many, it is a quick jump from speaking up with friends to joining a delegation to demand changes in services. The road is long. Fear and intimidation abound. Irving Martin says, "People First helps us to be good self-advocates for ourselves and to know what this community is all about." Page 27. People First members and groups have accomplished much at the service and system level. In various communities, they have demanded and won the right and support to work in the community, better working and living conditions, changes in government policy, and the right to be heard in court. People First members have fought long and hard to escape the indignity of disability labels. Their declarations of dignity have meant that far fewer people use the derogatory terms, the retarded, the disabled, the trainable. Instead, the minimum standard is now phrases beginning with "people with." Page 28 of this document is blank. Career vision, bringing out each individual's unique interests, strengths, and career goals. Page 29. What is this all about? Well, the key concept is that individuals with disabilities have dreams and desires about employment. While supported employment has opened new opportunities for jobs, it has not always resulted in careers that are consistent with the objectives of the individual. Career vision is intended to identify the career skills and goals of the individual and use those skills and goals to find employment. This results in greater job satisfaction for the employee, less likelihood of turnover, and a happier employee. Career vision is a tool that identifies career goals, determines job-related skills, brings together the various bureaucrats to cooperate on locating appropriate employment, and results in more job satisfaction for the individual. Career vision provides the information that enables employment, training, and support resources to be more effectively tailored to the individual. It identifies ways that employment will improve the quality of life of the individual, and it ensures that the focus of the planning team will be on the unique interests, strengths, and wishes of the individual. It begins with the creation of a dedicated support team whose members share a common purpose and goal. The team must include persons who know the individual best, persons from his or her circle of support, and the individual. The team must agree that it can be done and be committed to pursuing and identifying the how. Team members must be flexible and creative in their thinking, willing to brainstorm and to consider any alternative, no matter how unlikely it might first appear. We are now on page 30. The individual and the team create a personal survey, gathering information about the individual's abilities, likes, and preferences. Also included is the person's job history, with attitudes toward different job tasks and environments. Finally, the team identifies potential solutions that satisfy the criteria in the personal survey. For each of the solutions, the team creates an action plan that bridges the gap between the present and the future. Team members hold themselves accountable for implementing the action plans. Stephen Hinderman is increasing his hours at Eastern Heights Bank to qualify for benefits. Janine Nordquist, a bank official, says, "This job has been a good match for Stephen, and he's made an excellent contribution to the bank." Each week, Rochelle Turan of Kaposia Incorporated reviews Stephen's progress with him in a brief meeting at the bank. The shifting pattern, in this case, is from a focus on the job as the end product to a focus on the job as a rung in a career ladder. From viewing the person as a commodity that will produce a product or service for the employer, to viewing the job as a means to produce a quality of life for the person. From a focus on molding the individual to the job, to a focus on finding the job that will match the skills and goals of the individual. From a team concerned with placing people in jobs, to a team concerned with satisfying the needs of the individual. Brad Duncan enjoys the office environment and the company of co-workers in his job handling recycling for an insurance company. Page 31. Making a difference. Career vision can make a difference because it identifies the quality of life outcomes sought through employment by bringing out the individual's unique interests, strengths, and career goals. Stephen Hinderman loves his work so much now that sometimes he has to be reminded that it's lunchtime. He's decided to increase the number of hours he's working each week so that he becomes eligible for vacation time and a pension, and all the other benefits that the rest of the bank employees receive. He works hard, and he deserves it. Page 32. National Survey. The staff of the Minnesota Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities conducted a national survey of other councils, university-affiliated programs, and consumer and parent organizations during 1991. The purpose of the survey was to seek information about projects or activities that promote self-determination and empowerment. We urge you to contact your state council, university-affiliated program, or protection and advocacy agency for further information. A list of projects identified by state respondents follows. Alaska, People First and Community Support Network. Arizona, self-advocacy called OASIS, Organized Adults for Special Individuals in Society. Arkansas, Family Leadership. California, Partners in Policymaking. Colorado, Partners in Leadership and People First. Commonwealth of the North Mariana Islands, Special Education Conference. Connecticut, Partners in Policymaking, Coalition for Inclusive Education for Students with Disabilities, Circles of Support, Connecticut Union of Disability Action Group, People First, Personal Futures Planning, and Self-Advocacy. Delaware, Partners in Policymaking. District of Columbia, Parent Advocacy Project and Citizen Advocacy. Florida, Independent Employment. Georgia, Parents Educating Parents, Quality of Life Project, and Partners in Policymaking. Hawaii, Project Po'ohala, Family Support, and Partners in Policymaking. Idaho, Kid Power, Circle of Friends, People First, and Family Support. Illinois, People First, Parents for Inclusive Communities, Partners in Policymaking, Leadership Coordinating Group, Choice and Integration Project, Family Support Network, and self-advocacy support. Indiana, People First and Partners in Policymaking. Iowa, Partners in Policymaking, Family Support Initiative, and Empowerment Project. Kansas, Advocacy Training and Early Childhood Institute. Kentucky, Statewide Parent Network, Self-Advocacy Project and Life Planning, Personal Futures Planning Adaptation. Louisiana, Partners in Policymaking, Community and Family Support System Plan, and Family Resource Centers. Page 33. Maine, Advocacy for Change, Family Leadership. Maryland, People on the Go, Self-Advocacy, Coalition for Integrated Educational Opportunities, and The Parents' Place. Massachusetts, HIV/AIDS and Disability Network, Family Support and Leadership. Michigan, Parent Support and Advocacy and Self-Determination Training. Minnesota, People First, Partners in Policymaking, Advocating Change Together, Youth Leadership, Voucher Project, Parents as Case Managers, and Personal Futures Planning. Mississippi, Family Support Program and Coalition for Citizens with Disabilities. Missouri, Show Me Choices, How to Be an Effective Board Member Training, Self-Advocacy, and Legal Empowerment for Disabilities. Nebraska, Project Parent, Family Training Workshop Series and Assistance Network. New Hampshire, Family Leadership, Statewide Linking Network, Citizen Advocacy, and Self-Advocacy Training. New Jersey, Person-Centered Planning and Project Take Charge. New Mexico, Partners in Policymaking. New York, Partners in Policymaking, Family Support Project, Minority Partners Regional Initiatives, Choice Project, and Self-Advocacy Association. North Carolina, Parent Training and Self-Advocacy. Ohio, Family Leadership, Focus Incorporated for Self-Advocacy and Leadership Advocacy. Oklahoma, Care Councils, Community Awareness Resources Education Councils, Parent Training Project, Chickasaw Project, Parent Training for Children with Severe Physical Disabilities, and Partners in Policymaking. Oregon, Family TIPS, Transition Planning and Support System, Consumer Involvement Fund, and Community Partnership Project. Pennsylvania, Parent Network in the Community, Permanency Planning, Education and Leadership Project, Empowerment Curriculum, and Partners in Policymaking. Rhode Island, Community Organizing for People with Disabilities. South Carolina, Our Voices Count, Parents Reaching Out to Parents, and National Clearinghouse of Information and Resources. South Dakota, Independent Living Skills Training, Family Advisory Boards, and Partners in Policymaking. Tennessee, People First, Coalition for Tennesseans with Disabilities, Family Project, Tennessee Initiative on Employment, and Partners in Policymaking. Texas, Partners in Policymaking, Community Connections, and Coalition of Texans with Disabilities. Utah, Utah Legislative Coalition and Family Support. Vermont, Vermont Coalition for Disability Rights. Virginia, Leadership Workshops and Consumer Empowerment Project. Washington, Leadership Institute, People First, and Consumer Empowerment Projects. Wisconsin, Supportive Parenting Project, STARS, for Sexuality Training for Adolescents, Personal Development Project, Full Citizenship Initiative, and mini-grants to visionaries. Wyoming, Parent Support and Annual Family Conference. The U.S. Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs funds projects in the area of self-determination. The Minnesota Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities gratefully acknowledges the efforts of Bruce Kappel in preparing the text. Assistance was also provided by Audrey Claisman, Ann Esparza, Walea Flowers, David Hancox, Ron Kalazewski, Jean Little, Mary Jo McBride, Bill Meyer, Paul Odland, Paula Reeves, Diana Roth, Linda Rother, Kathy Snow, Sue Swenson, and Colleen Wick. A list of references cited in Shifting Patterns is available from the Council office. The original text of the printed version of this program was produced by Kraftwerk Communications of Minneapolis. The concept and design were by the Robin Group of Minneapolis. The Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities, as of October 1, 1992, when this document was originally produced, were Dwayne Shimpach, Council Chair, Jeanette Kester, Council Vice Chair, Dawn Anderson, Catherine Atneosen, Anne Barnwell, Catherine Baudek, Laura Bloomberg, Joanne Bokovoy, Roger A. Dineen, Suzanne M. Dotson, Karen Gore, Anne Henry, Lois Holloman, Byron Johnson, M.D., Paul R. Kenworthy, Robert Bob Meyer for Shirley J. Patterson, Bernadine D. Nolte, Paul Odland, D.D.S., Mary O'Hara Anderson, Nancy Okinow, Donna Peterson, Janet Rubenstein, Mary Shortall, Kathy Steemert, Dean F. Thomas, Patricia Teets, and Levi Young. Thank you for listening.